B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Maz.
You're going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Brusk, far circle, protects. Into the slot, McAvoy shoots, he scores! Charlie McAvoy with a rocket on the power play. He sizzles it under the bar. And the Bruins with a 4-3 lead with 45 seconds left.
Boy, Jake DeBrusk, two entries in a row coming down this left wing side. Second power play time. Holla was able to find him over on the left wing, and then DeBrusk comes into the circle, buys some time for himself, and gives this puck to McAvoy coming right down the gut, and McAvoy rips it blocker side. Well done by Jake DeBrusk on that play. Just to buy a little time, buy a little space, and then find Charlie McAvoy. Timeout.
Bruins trying to slow up the Caps coming through the neutral zone. Eller has to retreat into his own zone.
That was no second jump right away.
Puck drilled in. Hallmark's got it back of the net. He holds it there. Rimmed around to the far side. And this baby is over. The Boston Bruins have now won 9 of their last 11. They're within 3 points of the Toronto Maple Leafs in the Atlantic Division. David Pastrnak with two tonight. But your game winner comes on the power play from Charlie McAvoy as the Capitals are just giving it to the officiating crew here at TD Garden. Your final, Bruins 4 and the Capitals 3.
All right, hi everybody. Welcome to the program. It's Felger and Maz on Friday, January 21st. Friday being agenda free, meaning we have no agenda. The agenda is set by your wonderful phone calls. Agenda Free Fridays are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. When you buy or lease your car from Bernardi, they have no agenda. They just want to get you the car you want with exceptional service, and that's it. Find your next Audi, Acura, Honda, Nissan, or Toyota now at BernardiAutoGroup.com. What we do is we open up the phones to you. We give opening takes while you're populating the phone screen. As soon as you are ready, we go to you. But again, we fill that intermeeting time with opening takes. And I will go first just because we played the Bruins sound there. There's a lot to get to from that Bruins game last night, and we will get to it over the course of the show. Most notably, the injury to Brad Marchand and the hit from Garrett Hathaway that put him there. The thoughts on the Washington Capitals as a team in general, I definitely want to get to. I want to get to you and your team and that win last night, what it meant, what I liked, what I didn't like. I have some specific thoughts on Linus Ullmark. What was his name in training camp again, Maz?
Skidmark.
Linus Skidmark.
Pretty appropriate.
Have some thoughts on Jake DeBrusk. Have some thoughts on Charlie McAvoy. Have some thoughts on the team in general. Have some specific thoughts, again, on the Hathaway hit. Another Wilson hit. Another couple of Bruins injured after playing the Capitals. I have thoughts on that, as I'm sure you do as well. Jimmy, you may release the hounds if they're not already released at 617-779-0985. My opening take was that facilitation, big shocker. Who wants to go next?
Murray, you want to go?
Yeah, because I was at that Bruins game last night, and outside of the crowd, rightfully going bananas for Charlie McAvoy's game winner. The loudest pop of the night came when they put a shot of Mac Jones sitting in a luxury box with David Andrews and Hunter Henry on the Jumbotron. And I figured people would be pumped. You guys have been to games. They'll cheer for any athlete or Z-level celebrity that they'll put up there. But this was Beatles at Shea Stadium level type nuts. Or, for a more modern reference for our younger demo, you'd think BTS just came out on stage. But it was for Mac Jones, and it was like, really? Like, I guess people would be pumped. But this was, I thought it was a bit much, but that was the response. And it was the kind of response that cemented my thinking yesterday on the show. We were discussing, like we have been the last couple of days, whether or not Mac Jones truly is the guy for the Patriots, a quarterback going forward, especially when that position's getting better and better in the conference. Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, we all know the names. But we in the room, I think collectively, we don't really believe so. Mike, you seem more on the fence, typically. But Tony and I think probably not. And Patriots fans, I think, by and large, do. They love this kid. They want to watch him grow. That response last night proved it. And that's okay. Maybe he'll be more than another Andy Dalton or Kirk Cousins type. We'll see. But it leads me to this. If you're one of those type of Patriots fans that was there last night, You keep bringing out your phone. You, yeah, McCorkle! Like, people were losing it for McCorkle last night. They loved him. But if you're that, and you're into his particular brand of pedestrian quarterbacking that can usually only get you so far, tomorrow and all the way through the Super Bowl, you have to root for the Titans. That's your team. You have to root for the Titans with the Patriots out. That's your team. If Mac's your guy, and this is their guy, the Titans are the model the Patriots have to emulate, and you need them to win this Super Bowl in L.A. next month. That's it, because it's defense, running first, middling quarterback play, courtesy of Ryan Tannehill. It's about an excellent coach in Mike Vrabel, and their system being the most important thing of all. So if Mac's your guy, and you love him already, and you were there last night, Mac, McCorkle, yeah! Like, if that's your guy, you got to pull for the Titans starting tomorrow afternoon. That's who they have to emulate.
Anthony. Okay, so, Murray, I'm glad you touched on football, because I say this every year. I'll continue to say it every year because it's almost foolproof. The best weekend of the year to watch football. Divisional round. Every year, the best weekend of the year. The game's in order. Cincinnati at Tennessee. San Fran at Green Bay. Rams at Tampa. Buffalo at KC. Let me read some of those again, just so you guys are aware. San Fran at Green Bay, Rams at Tampa, Buffalo at KC, Green Bay, the Rams, Tampa, KC.
Huh. What's your point, Maz?
What do those teams have in common, Murray? Let me tell you, Maz's tears. Maz's tears. Yeah, there you go. Tier one. They're all there. Every single one of them. I said it all year long. So put it in your pipe and smoke it. Those four teams, Green Bay Rams, Tampa, KC, they were in the top tier all year long. They're still in the top tier. They're there on division weekend.
Were they 1A or 1B, Maz?
1A. So suck it.
Yeah.
Maz's tears.
And there we have it. 617-779-0985. Frank the Tank, lead us off.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Look, there's one thing I do not want to hear from one of you, is that it's the times, it's the way that it's going, it's the future, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to hear from any millennial trash bag that streaming is. I don't want to hear it. I pay enough for cable every month. I'm a hardworking guy with a family. And when I come home and want to tie one on, I want to be able to watch the sports that I pay for. You want to stream the game, stream the game. But to the local markets, it should be made available on TV.
Did you not get to see it, Frank?
It's the biggest bunch of BS I've ever seen.
Did you not get to see it?
I did not get to see it. I don't have a subscription to Haku or Hulu or whatever.
I know, Frank. Okay. Well, you know what?
It's
Frank.
Wrong, Mike. It's wrong, and you know it.
Oh, Frank. Believe me, you're preaching to the choir.
I was going to say, can I read his text to me last night?
Go ahead.
5 minutes of eight. This is BS. Absolute BS. If they want to stream the game, that's fine. The local market should have it on television. Effing pissed. Effing pissed. Effing pissed. Poor Frank. He's right, though. That is, just put it on in the local market on one of the stations.
Absolutely.
Do I need to say anything more? I mean, I got it. It was a miracle. Didn't take much. It was easy this time. For some reason, it just worked. I'm not going to, you know, like, pretend I had a hard time last night. I didn't. I still hated the broadcast and the quality of the broadcast. I still got the freaking circle every once in a while. The DVR thing wasn't the same. I couldn't get it to stop and rewind or pause it. I couldn't figure that crap out. I thought the broadcast kind of sucked, the quality of it. So I still think I just hate it, but I don't need to do that again. The game itself had a ton of content, and Frank the Tank, it would have got your blood boiling. Once again, the Washington Capitals are running around hurting your players, and they weren't necessarily dirty hits. Has anything come out on Hathaway today? Is the league going to...
Still waiting to see.
Okay. I don't think it's necessarily a suspendable hit, and Tom Wilson certainly wasn't.
Wilson's hit was fine.
But the point is, you once again come out of a game with the Capitals with two guys on the injured list.
Including your best player.
Okay. It happens routinely. It happens routinely. So I have a problem with you, and I have a problem with the Capitals. I mean, I think the Capitals play on this edge that they know exactly where the edge is, and they go in there with intent to really do harm, and I'm just kind of sick of it. I'm not telling you that it's illegal or that they deserve to be suspended, but I'd love to see someone knock their head off. Say, this is the way you want to play, Tom Wilson. Like, that was a clean hit. Okay, so was it on a power play? I can't remember, but it's Anton Bleed. the Bruins' fourth line wing on a non-threatening kind of play. He was entering the zone, but it wasn't like he was teeing anything up. And you just come over your blue line and you line him up, and all you are looking to do there is to knock him into the 10th row. And you did. Cleanly, congratulations. But that's all you wanted to do. And, oh boy, like that's kind of easy. Like, I think one of the most overrated players in NHL history is Scott Stevens. All he would do is go across from his guy and float over to the other side of the blue line and knock someone's head off who wasn't looking. Like, that's great. Well, that's congratulations. You just blindsided a guy again. That's special, man. And I'm getting a little sick of that. And that's Tom Wilson, too. So it's legal. I'm not, going to pick at anything. I'm not that guy. I wish there was more violence in hockey. But I am rooting for someone to line him up the way he lines everybody else up and take him out. Oh, and I think Hathaway is worse than he is. Hathaway's not as good as Wilson can play.
Yeah, Wilson's pretty good.
Hathaway can't, or is just not the same player. And just watch the hit. It was borderline, as usual with the Capitals, but he went in there, and he went in there to drive Marchand into the boards in a bad way.
Absolutely.
He meant to do harm. As usual with that Capitals team, there was mustard on that hit.
Pastrnak got it right. He went in there to hit him. He went in there to hit him. So it's not the dirtiest thing I've ever seen. Marchand was kind of turning. But he went in there with the idea of, I'm going to obliterate him.
Wasn't there to play the puck. Wasn't in there to necessarily win the play. He was in there to go and really take out Marchand.
Yeah, be a dirtbag.
And that's just that team. Now, like you say, well, you know, you need to counter that to beat the Capitals. No, you don't, because I don't know if you remember, you rubbed the Capitals out last year in six games. So the thing with the Cat, they don't own you anymore. And in fact, it's totally flipped. Since Holtby went down and moved on, like, that thing's flipped. You can beat the Capitals. You beat them last year in the playoffs. You beat them again last night. You know, they play a big, heavy, physical, dirty game. You don't. You can still beat them. So it's not about beating them. It's just, I'm a little sick of them hurting your players, cleanly or not. How many times are you going to come out of a game with the Capitals where someone's hurt? And so, like, that's starting to get to me.
Yeah, this Marchand one doesn't feel good either, does it?
All right, so there's a Bruins thought for you. Back to your phones on Agenda Free Friday right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz.
I'm not even going to look it up because I'd rather just deliver that to you.
Facts be damned.
Yep.
Make the shirts.
Yep.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Again, we talk about always with Brady, that offense. You want to disrupt him. You got to be able to rush forward, get pressure in his face. Well, they got Aaron Donald and a bunch of other good pass rushers, too. They can do that. They're creative in the back end to make him hold the ball and be confused a little bit. You know, for this big offensive line the Bucks have, they have issues with this small, quick, fast Los Angeles Rams D line. Now, Bruce Arians and Leftwich, they want to throw the football. That's what they are. That's where they like. I mean, they'll run the ball if they have to, but they don't really want to. And will they do that in this game? To me, that's the million-dollar question. They're going to be a big part of, like, the question of whether the Bucks win the football game or the Rams football game. Because I do think they have an advantage if they get in some of these two tight end sets and just pound the Rams with the run game. We saw they have issues with bigger offensive lines like the 49ers when they run the ball at them. That's a problem. You know, so that, and then off of that, you know, of course, that becomes little sets of where you can really protect Brady with the two tight ends or the extra guy into block. And now he doesn't have to worry about Aaron Donald breathing down his back or neck or Von Miller and Leonard Floyd. So that's where I'm interested to see the Bucks approach. I've been shocked, you know, going back and watching the game earlier this year, how they never really gave the run game even a chance. They kind of threw the ball well early and then just said, we're going to keep throwing it. Screw it. And, of course, it didn't work out. And they did confuse Brady and get after him a little bit. So that's what I look for, and I don't know. Do you think the Bucs can run the ball on them, Mike? Do you think they will? That's really one of the big questions for me.
That's Chris Sims. Analysis, Tampa, L.A., one of the fascinating games this weekend. And obviously, special ties here in New England with the Brady angle. An important game for a lot of people around here. I like Tampa, but, you know, I understand the matchup advantage that the Rams have and how they are ideally suited. I mean, the teams over the years that give Brady and most quarterbacks the most trouble are those that can get to the quarterback without having to blitz. Simply put, it's very simple. It's math. You can devote as many guys in coverage as possible, 7, rush 4, and still get the ball out quick. I mean, that's ideal. And with Von Miller going off and Donald being what he is, like, that's the formula.
And I know you can only take the regular season results with a grain of salt, because look at what the Bucs did to the Saints last year in the playoffs. I mean, the Saints own Brady and that team since he's gone there, but they won that game in this round last year. So that's all I'm hanging my hat on that, and Matthew Stafford crapping his pants, because otherwise those games, the final score isn't indicative of the games. And that's even with last year with Goff there. The Rams have killed this team the last couple of years.
Okay, so I think, neutral site, all things being equal, I would like the Rams. I have the Rams on a short week traveling west to east, and that thing, I think that's big. And I think Brady in the playoffs, big. And I think Stafford in the playoffs. So now this is a close game. It's going to come down to those two guys. I mean, come on.
I mean, I lean Brady there. That, to me, that's a determining factor, is the two quarterbacks. And look, I don't know if Tampa's not going to commit to the run, but that whole tight end, two tight end type offense that Chris Sims was talking about, that's what they should do.
So that's the antidote. Tampa is big and physical. I mean, if they want to play that way.
And that's the way they should play, because they can also run play action off it with the two tight ends.
So that's an interesting game plan thought when it comes to that game. Back to your phones here on an agenda. Free Friday. Jay in Boston. What do you got, Jay?
Tampa, too many injuries. Don Rollins, get him in. 6 injuries in that game. They were, not head hunting, but knee hunting.
Okay, Jay, your phone's just not good enough. Too many injuries on Tampa. True. I mean, that's what gives L.A. a chance in this
game.
Okay,
but I've seen Brady win with less.
Of course.
So, again, he's still got Gronk. He's still got Brate. He's still got Giovanni Bernard. He's still got Mike Evans. That's 4 options.
What's the latest on that O-line, though? I think that's the most important thing going into this.
Murray, one. I hear you.
So what is Wirf's situation?
I don't know. As of right now, he was in a walking boot for most of this week, so with that high ankle sprain.
But I also think that Brady can mitigate some of that because he gets the ball out. So, look, I'm not telling you I'm not worried about Tampa's O-line, because I am. I'm just telling you Brady's got enough to win.
Couple of Celtics thoughts here on an agenda-free Friday. Dean in Arkansas via Shrewsbury. Go ahead, Dean.
Dime Lord is the only redeemable thing about this Celtics season. He's the only one moving the ball consistently and effectively. I'm sick of the iso ball. Ime should make Dime Lord the point center. At least World B. Flat is being fined for being a little bitch to his former fans.
Okay, is he talking about Kyrie Irving there?
Yeah, World B. Flat. That's pretty good.
Okay, Luke in Vermont. Go ahead, Luke.
I'm so annoyed with the trade this week. The season's been an epic fail by all accounts. And the first thing they come out and do is try to save money. Like, their priority right now is saving money from the ownership and Brad Stevens and all them. All the talk about Banner 18 and everything we do is the next step towards the championship. It's just so frustrating as a fan. It's like the Kevin Garnett trade isn't coming. You can't wait for something that clean. Eventually, you got to take a chance. Look what happened with Isaiah Thomas. That wasn't a championship move. Sometimes you just got to make a move and hope something happens. There's 3 teams you look at that are committed to championships. The Warriors, they were never concerned with getting under the tax or the apron. They had 2 years with no Klay Thompson, and they still spent through the roof. You got the Heat, who, look what they put around Bam and Jimmy Butler.
Yep.
With Kyle Lowry, Morris, Tucker, Hero, Robinson. They've drafted well. They've signed well. And even the Lakers, who everybody kills and they're having a terrible year, at least they took a shot. They overpaid Russell Westbrook. Did it work? No. But I would rather be them taking the shot, spending the money, than being the Lakers worrying about the apron and money. That's so frustrating.
Okay, Luke, good take. I mean, the Celtics worried about the tax and the apron.
I mean, that was my first take on that trade. You know, you're worried about getting under the tax threshold, and that tells you you don't think your team's very good and you're not going for it. I mean, otherwise, why even concern yourself with that? Just about everybody, if you're in line for a championship, will go into tax territory, right? You got a championship at stake, we'll do it. But if we don't, we won't. That's most people. So when they back off and they want to get under the tax threshold, what are they telling you? I think the Red Sox did the same thing last year.
And I'm telling you, the clock is ticking on Brown and Tatum. And I think you've got just, you know, beyond just contending for a championship now this year, I think the process of getting those guys committed to you is on. And you doing something to improve your team helps. I mean, there was a useful player who moved in that deal. I mean, people just think it was all flotsam and jetsam. That Forbes kid can shoot. You know, and what do the Celtics need?
Shooter.
So, like, there was actually a useful player that moved in that deal, and you had no interest in him. All you wanted was, and I didn't even want to get into the effing thing with the contracts and the buyouts and whatever, just to get closer to the tax. And it's like, I don't know. You got to start not just winning games, but winning Brown and Tatum over, as unpleasant and unsatisfactory as those guys have been. Jake in Boston, thought on Mac Jones. Go, Jake.
Yeah, Big Jim Murray, I have never agreed with you more on a take than the one you had on last night. And I agree with you on a lot of things. That was absurd and disgusting out of this fan base. Maybe it's because you've got a bunch of white-collar softies in the building now, and the shot thing doesn't help, instead of the blue-collar Bruin fan who would have booed them out of the building. Maybe it's because I wish Tom Wilson was sitting in our secondary right now instead of what we have back there, the way he hits. It was absurd and disgusting on the players, too. Why didn't any of the defensive players who were in the North End last night end up in that suite? J.C. Jackson, Byron Count, they were all on Hanover Street last night because I saw them. And finally, Felger, on a happier note, it still puts a smile on my face 20 years later. But remember when Bill Burt wrote an entire column before the AFC Championship game on that old Jerome Bettis, David Letterman thing? That still drives me crazy. It's hilarious.
I don't remember what you're talking about.
Me neither.
And as usual with your calls, I got like 5% of it. Who was on Hanover Street? What?
J.C. Jackson, a lot of the Patriots defensive
who
players.
Who gives a rat's ass?
Yeah, maybe they don't like hockey.
Who cares? I don't care either way.
I think he just wants people booing them all on the streets for that performance against the Bills last week.
Murray, were you in the, was Mac in the box next to ours?
He was, yes.
Did you go over there?
No.
Why don't you go on over there?
What am I going to say? I think you're kind of a stiff.
Say no, what up? No, what up, dog?
Yeah, you say hi. You know, I just wanted to introduce myself and stuff.
Yeah, just give him a little what up.
Oh, please.
Big fans.
I'm not going to do that.
Come on, get a little something.
Murray, come on. Do some investigative journalism.
Yeah,
here.
Get over there.
I had drinking to do. Thank you very much.
Well, you know, and he would be opposed to that.
Even better.
Exactly. Go offer him another free beverage from the box.
I'm good.
It's on and the company.
Take him to Hanover Street.
Seriously.
Can I get you?
You, of all people who don't like talking to people, you're going to tell me.
I didn't say, no. That's I wouldn't go over there, but that's, you know, I can encourage others to go do it. No.
Just go up to him, hand him a drink, and say, hey, what up and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, can I get you?
You sent me a picture of him with posing with the Blades or the freaking mascot. Who took that?
Oh, no, I think the Bruins actually put that on their official account.
Oh, they did.
Yeah.
I thought it was you.
No.
You want some popcorn and stuff? Go ahead.
No,
it's soda pop and stuff.
My creepy buddy was the one taking photos. I'm like,
and then Mass is dying to do the Mac Jones impersonation. Just go ahead.
No, I wanted Murray to go over there. You could easily strike up a conversation, Murray. Yeah, yeah, you know, I'm Jim Murray and stuff. I just come over and say hello and introduce myself. I make funny every day. What are you hanging out and stuff?
Ah, Murray, you should have done it. You should have done it, Murray.
That would never ever happened.
Here's Murray's update. We're back with more on an agenda free Friday.
Some guys like to get real hyped up and stuff.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What do you want to talk about?
Mike in Framingham, what?
Felger and Mass.
Hey, I love your show. I don't agree with anything you guys ever say, though.
More Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Marsh one, I didn't like at all. And I let the officials right there in front of it, didn't call it. The trail official called. I'm not sure why the guy watching it didn't. Hit a guy in the numbers in a vulnerable spot. Seen that from that player in the past too. So I didn't like that one at all. I guess the league may or may not look at it when it comes with Marshy. Sometimes they kind of move on. But in this particular case, seemed like a vulnerable spot against the boards, back high. But at the end of the day, we were able to overcome it.
Okay, they did overcome it. And what they overcame more than the loss of Marchand was their freaking goaltender. There's a few game thoughts here. Boy, did he smell last night, Maz.
He was brutal. Absolutely brutal. I mean, you can't let those shots go in from where they were taken. Brutal angle. The first one was a brutal angle, and it beat him over the short side shoulder.
Short
Initially,
side.
I thought it beat him to the other corner. Not that that makes it really that much better.
It does. Short side is always almost always on. You almost always put short side on the goalie.
But then I saw that and went, holy crap, how did you get beat there? And then the Eller one. Forget, he knocked it in. It was going over the net. I always liked Eller, but that's an aside thing. He'd have been a good Bruin. He'd have pain in the ass to play against.
That goal in particular was the one that was like,
oh, God, brutal. Absolutely freaking brutal. And the third one, look, again, it was short side, but that was a defensive breakdown. I just thought that was awful defense on the part of Carlo. So, but the first two, Ullmark, 100%.
Smelled. Three goals on 17 shots. I mean, come on. And all three were savably waved at him. So that's what you overcame more than Marchand. What else sort of bugged me in this game? I mean, there are things to like. The game-winning goal was lovely on all ends. You know, that's what's going to make McAvoy a Norris guy. If he can start to finish off some plays and provide that offense, then he's a Norris guy because he's Norris quality in his own end.
That thing was a freaking blow dart.
That's tremendous. Skill, you know, skill kind of play for him and for Jake DeBrusk, of all people.
The most shocking development of the whole night. Primary assist, Jake DeBrusk on the game-winning goal. Little drop. Have you ever seen him make that play? Ever. He never sets anybody up for anything. Ever. Whatever assists he gets are almost by accident because someone else, he gets a secondary assist. I think he's got four primary assists this year, which I thought was high. I wanted someone to check the scoring on that because I mentioned it's bullcrap. When does he ever do that? When does he ever actually set someone up? It was a great pass.
Yeah, one of the best, one of his better plays of the year. If not the best, showed hockey sense and just sort of spatial awareness of things that I just don't think that he has. But then again, when they moved him up to that, when Marchant went down and Jake DeBrusk started skating with Bergeron with the first line, all of a sudden he had this jump. And I'm like, oh, the little baby got his bottle. So you got to play with better players and all of a sudden you're gonna decide to play. You big baby, and I can see it, you know, like, so when he had the minutes and the playing partners, all of a sudden a light went on and he started playing, and I can just see it. They'll trade him. He'll go with good players, and all of a sudden he'll look like a good, better player because he's out of here. He's playing with who he wants, and it's like, oh, would you stuff it? Like, he's one of these guys.
I feel the same way about Taylor Hall.
He's one of these guys, and Hall might absolutely be as well. Might absolutely be as well. And I was glad Cassidy showed that frustration after the game because he was asked about DeBrusk going up with the first line and how he responded. And, well, here's the sound. Here's Cassidy.
How pleased were you to see Jake DeBrusk's, kind of bounce back after he got that shot on the top line? Didn't really look like he was completely as hard as you might have wanted early on, but I thought he came on.
Yeah, I mean, he got a chance. He's playing with Charlie Coyle every night. He's a pretty good center iceman. So moving up and with Berge, only he can answer if that sort of energized him. He should be ready to play no matter what.
Thank you.
He seems to have trending that way where he gets going as the game goes along. So obviously we got to get him ready at puck drop. As I've said before with the team as a coach, it's my job to prepare the players. It's their job to prepare themselves. So we got to meet halfway on that. But at the end of the day, he made some good plays in the third period.
And then he goes on. But it's like very lukewarm. Like, yeah, he plays with a pretty decent center as it is. It shouldn't be,
It shouldn't depend on who his center is for his effort level to go up or down depending on who his center is. Should be able to make plays no matter what and be ready to go no matter what. Now, that's my job, too, but you do have to meet me halfway. So I love it. It's like, so I'm with Bruce Cassidy on Jake DeBrusk. I know what's going to happen. They're going to trade him. He'll be better at the next place, and Bruce will get blamed for not developing Jake DeBrusk. What are you supposed to do? Supposed to do just lay down the carpet for Jake DeBrusk? He's played most of his career here with David Krejci. What's the problem, Jake? Did you see the breakaway in the second period that Jake DeBrusk had? I know you missed it, Maz. Do you see that breakaway in the second period, Murray?
I believe so.
Yeah, have you seen him more? You know why you don't remember it? Because it's the most forgettable, lame-ass breakaway I've ever seen in my life from DeBrusk. He had the puck at the defensive blue line. It wasn't a break-in from the offensive blue line or even the red line. He had three quarters of the ice.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah.
To formulate something. And all he did was skate in a straight line, make no moves, and just shoot it right into the goalie's pads. Not one move.
No deke. No
not
nothing.
One feign. Not one effort to move the goalie. It was the lamest breakaway you will ever see. But then he gets put up with Patrice, and it's like, oh, okay, I'm going to go now. I got very little patience for that kid.
Don't you hate that?
No, that's aggravating, but if the return is, like, minimal, you're not going to get any kind of defense.
Just keep him.
Just keep him, right?
Just keep him.
For depth purposes.
Keep him. Don't trade him. Don't trade him for a bag of pucks. I'm not dumping him just to dump him. If someone wants to get stupid and treat him like as the equivalent of like a first-round pick or a top prospect, then fine. Yeah, smell you later. But now, Charlie Coyle's fine for you. Charlie Coyle's perfect for you, Jake. It's up to you to play.
I mean, it's amazing to me that a guy who has done so little in the league thinks he's in a position to demand anything.
And on Coyle, just quickly, he's so much better as a third-line center because he's not expected to score because he can't. He can't. He cannot produce offensively consistently. But he does all sorts of other stuff well, and so put him on the third. That balances him out. It's that was as big of a thing as anything. He's not a top six center. He's just not. He can't produce offensively. So we can't, Charlie, can't play in the top six. Charlie Coyle can't play as your second line center. He's got to be a bottom six center. So now he's wicked overpaid, and it's a bad contract. But the lineup makes more sense when he's not on the second line because he's just the puck's just not going to go in the net when he's out there. It looks like it's going to. He's going to threaten. He's going to make a lot of plays possession-wise and win pucks and possess the puck, but it ain't going to go in, ever. So he's a bottom six center. You overpaid for him. But it's part of the reason the lineup makes more sense. What else? What else in that game? Capitals just frustrate me. The Capitals, it's like clean hits-ish. Wilson hit was clean. Hathaway thing, I don't think it's suspendable. But they just mean to hurt you. They just want to hurt you. Now, how many games are you going to play against the Capitals and come out with players hurt? How many of your guys are you going to let them hurt?
Has there been anything definitive on Marchand, by the way?
Well, he's out tomorrow for sure. Him and Bleeder out
that
tomorrow.
That felt like a broken collarbone.
Messier said sprained shoulder. And he just, from looking at it in the break, said sprained shoulder. He's going to be out a couple weeks.
Well, you've seen that clip after one of those goals. He tried to, you know, it's that reaction like, yeah, I want to celebrate. He couldn't even raise his arm.
Yeah, no. He's out for a little bit. Bruins are on the board here with an Agenda Free Friday. Back to your phones. Long commercial free segment is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Oh, he is a manipulative weasel.
And Matt.
He does himself no service by actually talking.
You've got to listen to Believe.
It's about me.
Yes, absolutely.
It's about me.
No question.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bruins back at full strength. Spread it ahead. Here's Marchand. 2-on-2 with Hall on the line left side. Marchand. Left circle. Cuts to the middle. Poke check. Oh, and then he got buried in the near corner. Absolutely, there's got to be a penalty here as Marchand is down.
That's a referee out at center ice that makes this call. Not the one that was 5 feet away. Marchand having a long conversation here with the referees. He's trying to shake off something there. Right arm, shoulder. Hathaway got him. I think he had a choice of what they wanted to call there. They ended up calling interference. Marchand was going for that puck, and Hathaway got him on the numbers.
It wasn't even just the fact he got him on the numbers. It's the force. Let's go back and look at the force, the finish. And I know you're supposed to, quote-unquote, finish your checks. But Wilson and Hathaway finished their checks. I mean,
look, these guys got reputations, both of them.
With bad intent, it's always that team. I mean, the last time you played the Capitals, remember the high stick that Nick Dowd gave Marchand? It was where Marchand's nose just freaking a geyser.
Oh, right, yes. Open,
yeah. Okay, that was Nick Dowd, and he's by the Capitals net, and Nick Dowd, I guess, goes for a stick lift, but he does it so violently. He just ripped Marchand's helmet and the face shield and just tore his nose up. And, you know, a part of the story is, oh, by the way, we shouldn't shed any tears for Marchmont. He's tried to hurt players, too. He's not just a reputation. It's what he's been in his career. So what goes around comes around, and I'm not, like, taking up a collection for Brad Marchand. So I just want to make that clear. But just back on the Capitals. It's just beyond an edge to their game. It's like just this... They're trying to hurt you.
Yeah, it's thuggish.
And I'm just kind of side. I don't expect the Bruins to do it because they're not built that way anymore, which I guess I'm better with than a lot of fans are. But I'd like to see someone do it. I'd like to see someone line up Tom Wilson from across the ice, come off your guy when he's not looking, and knock his freaking head off and just see how he likes it. That's usually what happens with bullies. As soon as you get him, they're not quite the same, are they? He deserves one of those. And I'd like to see someone do it.
Better be someone big.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Someone big.
Pat Maroon or someone.
Someone willing to take the suspension. I mean, really. I mean, that's how I feel about it. Go right on the edge, just like Wilson does. Right on the edge where you got to debate it. You got borderline. Okay? Maybe it's not suspendable. Maybe it is. You don't know. It's clean hockey, hard hit. Yeah, well, just one of those. Just give him one of those. What he does to everybody else. Matt in New Bedford on the Bees. Go ahead, Matt.
I got two quick points for you, Felger. One, wouldn't you like to see Brandon Carlo be just a little bit more meaner? The guy's 6'4", a defensive defenseman, and I don't think people are afraid to come around the net with him in front of it.
So, Matt, at this stage, he's been in the league maybe 4 years, 5 years. Do you think he's going to evolve into something that he's not?
No, I don't. But it's just frustrating. Don't you? I mean, you're frustrated by Pastrnak, you know, giving away the puck. I mean, he's been doing that his entire career. We are not frustrated with Carlo.
Sure,
not being mean.
I mean, I guess I've accepted it. Go ahead.
Okay, my second point is that aren't you? I'm also kind of pissed off that whenever it seems we score, we give another quick one up, and we do it consistently. I mean, eventually we're going to shoot ourselves in the foot and not be able to win the game afterwards.
Okay.
It's been happening a lot lately.
It does, but am I blaming the team for last night or freaking Skidmark there? Waving at the pucks like that Eller goal. Go back and watch the Eller goal. Tell me how the play started, if anyone wants to just rewind
it. Let me guess. Pasta turned it over.
Thank you. Okay, just go watch it. I mean, it shouldn't ended up in a goal. It should not have. So I'm not going to blame Pot. But the whole thing started with Pastrnak with a really loose soft play in the neutral zone. But be that as it may, it's hard to blame the team for letting down when Ullmark lets up a goal that was going to end up 3 feet over the ice. Over the net, I mean.
Was that the third goal or the second?
Second.
Okay. Wasn't the third goal the one that came really quick?
Yes.
Third goal came quick, too, and that was more of a defensive breakdown. But Ullmark still could have had that one.
So I agree, but that was a bad lapse.
Yes, it was.
I mean, that was a bad lapse.
They were still announcing the Bruins' goal when it happened.
Yes, right. You can hear it, Murray. Yeah. That's correct. And, in fact, so all I would say, Mike, is it's the pattern. It's a pattern. It's not exclusively last night.
True.
It's happened a lot. So what? All of a sudden you're ahead and you think the other guy's not going to come out of a cannon? Of course he is. Get your head out of your ass.
I don't think you can pile on Ullmark enough today. Like that.
Well, he sucked.
That's
last
the
night.
Kind of performance that you look at and say, this guy can't steal you a game.
That was two bad goaltending games in a row.
$5 million a year. And that, you know, Rask, I guess, wasn't ready to go the other night, but no one was. Like, I don't even blame him for that thing the other night. I do blame Ullmark for last night. That was freaking putrid. Ricky in Winchester. Go, Ricky.
Hey, how's it going? I agree with you on the Capitals, Felger. They're a team full of dirtbags. Their fans are also dirtbags. I go to school in D.C., and they're just the worst. But on the Bruins, I don't know how people are falling for the Brusting again. I see it on Twitter last night. They're like, oh, if you could just play like this. No, you know, as soon as he sees 13 next to him, he's going to be floating around like he's out to lunch.
Exactly.
So as soon as he's done playing with Bertrand for this little stint, trade that ass. Trade that ass. You'll get the most for him.
Okay, I'm not getting pennies. I'm not taking pennies on the dollar. No. If someone overpays me for DeBrusk, fine. If I win the trade, yes. But I'm not getting rid of him just to get rid of him. And I understand when you play with Charlie Coyle, you're not going to get nearly the opportunities that you do with Bergeron. Do you want to play or not? Like, what? Jake, you want us to play you ahead of Taylor Hall or Brad Marchand? I mean, what's your freaking problem, dude?
Who doesn't want to play with Bergeron?
Of course. Like, this is what you are. And for the balance of your career, you played with David Krejci. So I shouldn't have to hear about who your center is. You played with an elite setup guy, and you sucked.
You earn who you play with. You earn that.
For Pete's sake. Ryan and Bill Recca. Hi, Ryan.
What's up, boys? Michael, when we signed Derek Forbort in the offseason, he was supposed to play with Charlie McAvoy on the first pairing, and he clearly can't do it. So you're overpaying for a guy to play, not even on your second pair. He's going to play in your freaking third pair because he can't handle himself on any other pair. And on Omach, man, that contract looks wretched. Just add that to another Sweeney contract that just sucks. Thank you.
Okay, no, thank you. Oh, that $5 million a year. They got to wave at pucks 3 feet over the bar. And Forbort, they didn't sign him to play in the first pair. I was just looking up his contract. What's his contract?
It wasn't big dough. I'll say this, though, that because I think it's related. Grizzly's playing a lot better now, too. Now he's awoken now that he's back with McAvoy on a regular basis.
So Forbort makes $3 million a year. That's not a first pairing D-man. He was supposed to be a depth guy. Third pairing guy, that's what he is. They put him up with McAvoy because Grizzlick is, you know, undersized and not a great defensive player, and I think got off to a little bit of a shaky start.
Horrible start.
So I guess I'm being kind there. They don't, you know, your left side guys are Grizzlick, Vakanainen, who's been a nice little revelation here, and Forbort. You don't have a first pairing left shot D-man. You don't. Those are all third pairing guys. So that's what you got on the left side. And that's your number one need still to this day.
So since you brought this up, what's your take on Vakanainen?
I like him. I think he's at best number four. You know, like he's a second pairing on his best day.
I'll take it.
Sure. Oh, my God. Absolutely. If you've actually drafted someone who's in your top 4D for Sweeney, that's like
Grand Slam.
Miracle. Miracle on Causeway Street if he drafted that guy. I told you before, I don't see his path to elite status. Because he is more of a defensive defenseman than offensive defenseman. But he's only 6'1 and, I don't know.
190 or
190,
something.
190, I was going to say. I don't know how much he weighs, but he's not a big guy. So he's a defensive defenseman, but he's not a physical sort of imposing physical presence. So, which is fine if you're more offensive. If you're an offensive guy, fine. But he's not. So it's like, well, where, now how?
Tweener.
So how does that go in the first round? It's like, he's not going to be elite defensively or physically, and he's not going to be elite offensively. So why is that a first-round pick? Isn't a first-round pick someone that's going to be a plus in one of those two things?
Don't you think they thought he was going to be a plus offensive player?
Maybe. I don't know.
He's listed at 185, but that's when he was drafted.
6'1", 185. I mean, that's just like, you know, that's not big. He's not big and physical or overly skilled. So but if he's just a good all-around defenseman who can play on your second pair, take it and run, given the way this team is drafted. Here's an update from Big Jim Murray. There are no commercials. I'm giving something away that you might like, that I think you will like. All right, there's a giveaway coming up next segment and more of your phone calls on Agenda Free Friday, so I highly recommend you go nowhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.